Morning. It is good to be with you, as always. We're loving being here at Lechlade. Do have those words open in front of you. They're on the service sheet. And let me pray for us as we begin. Lord Jesus, thank you for these I am sayings and how in them you show us what you're like and what that means for us. By your Spirit, be at work among us this morning. Open these words to us. And open our hearts to you. Amen. How do you feel when you come across a closed door? Maybe you're at a stately home, National Trust property or something like that, and you're walking around having a good nose, and then there's a closed door with a no entry sign on it. How do you feel? Curious. What's behind the door? Unfairly excluded? Why aren't I allowed in? Sometimes in life we talk about closed doors when we talk about missed opportunities. I don't have time to learn a language now. I can't change career now. And so we say, that door's closed to me. In life, we want to get in to the places that matter. And if there are going to be closed doors, we want to make sure we're on the right side of them, don't we? We'll do whatever it takes to get in. Is that how it is with God? What does it take to get on the inside with him? Some people I speak to aren't particularly religious. They've never felt close to God, and they wonder, how do I get in to all of this? How do I get in with him? Many Christians I speak to wonder whether they really are in. How would we know? Today's I Am saying answers those questions. Jesus says that we get on the inside with God through him. Life may be full of closed doors, but Jesus says he is the door to God and he's open to us. In fact, he's a specific kind of door. He's a gate, the kind that you would find on a sheepfold. Verse 9 in our reading, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I've got 2 points for us today. I think they're on the next slide. First, Jesus is our only way in to life with God. And that means, second, Jesus is our gate to real security and real satisfaction. Let's think about that first one. Jesus is our only way in to life with God. Over the next 2 weeks, we're looking at chapter 10 of John's Gospel because it gives us two I am sayings. In the first few verses of our reading, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and verse 6, he uses a figure of speech, a word picture. You've got a sheepfold with the sheep safely inside. You've got thieves and robbers trying to get in round the back. And then you have the true shepherd who comes in through the gate. He's authorized to be there. He knows the sheep, and the sheep know him. It's a very simple word picture. It's the kind of scene you could make out of Lego in under 2 minutes, probably. But the Pharisees don't understand it. And so Jesus picks up two elements of that word picture and uses them to show us who he is. Next week, we've got the famous one, I am the good shepherd. But first, before then, Jesus says, I am the gate. Now, why does Jesus start there? It's because of what's just happened before our reading. See, our Bible chapters can sometimes be a little confusing. They weren't in the original text, and John didn't put them there. So actually, there's no break between chapter 9 and chapter 10. What we're reading this morning is part of one big unfolding event. And here's the backstory. In chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples meet a man born blind. Jesus heals him. But because it's the Sabbath, the Pharisees launch a witch hunt to find out who's been working on the Sabbath. And this man born blind, although he barely knows Jesus, shows tremendous faith in him and ends up being expelled, thrown out. He's cast out of the synagogue, and even his parents more or less disown him. He's shut out, excluded. And when he looks at the synagogue, the place to be with God's people, he sees a closed door, all for following Jesus. And you know, his story is played out all over the world every day. Believers whose commitment to Jesus means that they're cut out of families, discriminated against in workplaces, and even face imprisonment, torture, and death. This man born blind follows Jesus, and all the doors in his life seem to close. Hasn't following Jesus made his life worse? That's where our reading comes in. No, because Jesus is the gate. He's the only way in to life with God. And so in this I am saying, Jesus has been comforting and challenging all at the same time. Comforting to all who have suffered in following him. Because through Jesus, they will find more than they ever lost. But also challenging to people like the Pharisees who shut others out. Because only through Jesus can we enter into life with God. So because they didn't recognize who Jesus is, instead of being the righteous religious teachers they thought they were, Jesus says these Pharisees are thieves and robbers. They're a threat to the sheep. Now, before we go on, that means something for us. It means that we should be discerning listeners in church. Jesus is very clear that there are thieves and robbers who want to fleece the sheep, to steal and kill and destroy. And these thieves and robbers can look like the real deal. The Pharisees did. So as listeners in church, we need to be on the lookout. How do we know who's trustworthy? It's simple. Jesus is the gate. So if anyone gives us a version of Christianity that somehow bypasses Jesus or minimizes Jesus or looks for loopholes in what he said in the Bible, then they're thieves and robbers who will only damage us. Because Jesus is our only way in to life with God. That's what he says about himself. Verse 9 again. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So here's our second point. Jesus is our gate into real security and real satisfaction. Again, it's all there in verse 9. Real security, because those who enter through him are saved. Real satisfaction, because those who enter through him find pasture. Let's think about those two in turn. Real security, because we're saved. Now that word saved can feel very churchy, but it means something simple and wonderful. It means kept safe forever. To use the picture language Jesus does, we need to imagine ourselves as sheep. Lovely, fluffy, and defenseless. We can do a bit of headbutting, but introduce a wolf or even an unusually hungry dog, and we're in real trouble. Now, at one level, that is not a flattering picture of us, is it? But then it is realistic. Think about how easily we're destabilized in life. It isn't just the major things that churn us up. Even small things can leave me feeling completely overwhelmed. Insecurity is a real feature of our lives. And it means that we can't relax. We're constantly on edge. But put that sheep in a sheepfold, and it's a different story. They're safe from whatever could harm them, from all outside threats. And Jesus is saying, I am the gate into real security. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Saved. I wonder if we really understand how secure we are in Jesus. Think about it. What is the worst that could happen to you? We might lose our relationships. But Jesus promises us a place in his family forever, which we experience in our life together as a church. We might lose our possessions. But Jesus promises us unfading treasure in heaven that no fluctuating stock market or global recession could ever touch. We might lose our mental and physical health. But Jesus promises that we'll be part of his new creation, with renewed minds finally at peace, and renewed bodies where everything works. We might lose our lives, but Jesus died and rose again, and he promises to take us with him through death. Death will have no hold over us, because it had no hold over him. And worse than any of those things, and there is something worse, we might be lost ourselves. Alienated from God, shut out of his presence. And because he's the giver of life, joy, every good thing, Nothing could be worse than that. But when Jesus says he's the gate of the sheep, he's picking up on the Old Testament, that psalm we know and love, "The Lord is my shepherd." So to enter through the gate and belong in God's sheepfold is a picture of being perfectly secure in God's presence, forgiven because of what Jesus has done, never to be rejected by God. No more past mistakes or failings or regrets held against us. And even if everyone else shuts us out, if we come through Jesus the gate, we're accepted in him. Real security. That's not to be confused with obsessiveness over short-term safety. No, actually, this real security enables us to take right risks. Not foolish ones, but real ones. We can get out of our comfort zone and even go where it costs us if God's calling us there to serve him and others. Why? Because we know that nothing in our future can threaten us. Jesus is our gate into real security and real satisfaction. Let's think about that satisfaction in verse 9 again. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Don't imagine coming into his sheepfold as living some kind of cramped life penned in with smelly sheep. Come through Jesus the gate and there's a new quality of life. These sheep are free to come in and go out. And above all, they find pasture. If you're a sheep, pasture is all you could want. And when Jesus talks about pasture, he's talking about real satisfaction for us. Verse 10, he makes that explicit. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." These are happy sheep. Well fed on lush green grass, secure and at rest. And that is a picture of what God wants for us. Life to the full. Nothing to worry about. Every need met. Every desire satisfied in him. Now that real satisfaction is something we never seem to find on our own, is it? We set our goals, and either we never reach them, or we do, and then find somehow we're restless for more. Happiness seems at our fingertips, but we never get our hands on it. That's not surprising. If we were made by God for God, then nothing less than God will do. But Jesus is the gate. He is nothing less than God. And he has come to fill our lives to the full. That's what God wants for us. One ancient Christian, Irenaeus, said this: "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." You see, it's not God who's holding back on you. It's not God who wants to hollow you out or keep you from finding real life. We're the ones who settle for less. We're the ones who live for temporary things and trust what never satisfies. But through Jesus, we find pasture. He's the only way in to the only one who matters, and he's open to us. This morning, he's inviting you and me to discover real security and real satisfaction. He wants it for you. Just think about how valuable you are to him. Thieves come to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life to the full. And you see that in Jesus' death. He was literally stolen from and killed and destroyed, in as painful and humiliating a way as the Romans could devise. On the cross, he was excluded, shut out, as he experienced the right anger of God at human injustice. Heaven was a closed door to him as he died. Why? He went there for us, so that we could be brought in. That's why he's the gate. So when we come to God, we don't find a closed door. But Jesus, our only way into life with God. And that means that Jesus is our gate into real security and real satisfaction. And when we enter through him, everything changes. Let me suggest three quick takeaways of what that change looks like. First, because Jesus is the gate, our efforts aren't. You know that old joke format, someone dies, and then they go to the gates of heaven, and St. Peter's there, and they have to argue their way in. Well, we should retire that joke format as Christians, because that's not how it works. Heaven isn't only open to those good enough to get in, because none of us are. No, Jesus is the gate, and you don't have to pass some quiz to enter through him. You don't have to prove your merits to enter through him. Unworthy as we are, we get to come in. Not because of what we do, but because of what he's done. And that's part of our security in life. We're not always worrying about whether we're in or out and what we do to get in. We can rest in his finished work. Second takeaway, we should expect and pray for real intimacy with God when we come through Jesus the gate. Verse 3, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It's been said that the sweetest word anyone can hear in any language is their own name. That's why it's so awkward when you forget someone's name, and why it's so awful when someone forgets yours. But here's the thing, you are not nameless to God. Enter through Jesus the gate, and you discover that you're fully known by him. Known for all your triumphs, and not loved any more for them. Known for all your failings, and not loved any less. Known deeply. So expect that intimacy as you open up the Bible to hear him speak, because he will be speaking to you. Expect it when you speak to him in prayer. Third takeaway, this changes how we treat one another in church. It means death to cliques and death to gossip. Jesus is the gate, the only way in to the only one who matters. And so in church, there should never be an in crowd. All of us are in if we belong to Jesus. And the more we understand that Jesus is the gate, the more we'll welcome those who aren't like us. And the less we'll form cliques, the less we'll want to gossip, the less we'll want to put up walls, because we're all in his sheepfold. And the more we'll enjoy the happy unity that comes from that as a church. So as we finish now, and I lead us in a prayer, let me invite you to come through Jesus, the gate. Often we talk about coming to Jesus, and that's right. But in the light of today's I Am saying, come through Jesus to be saved, to find pasture. Acknowledge that you are a sheep, helpless in all sorts of ways. But come to the gate that is open for you to discover real security and real satisfaction. Let me pray for us now. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you haven't shut us out of life with you, but you invite us to come through Jesus, the gate, and find the security and satisfaction we long for that we can't find anywhere else. By your Spirit, help us to be discerning listeners who refuse to find life through anyone else, and change us individually and as a church because of the intimacy and access we found with you through Jesus. In our vulnerability, help us experience what it is to be saved in him. In our restlessness, help us experience what it is to find pasture in him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.